morning. I'm going to ask if there's any veterans in the house, if you would just stand for a moment. Any veterans? Any family members of veterans? Will you stand? Family members of veterans. Thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity to salute you, and I thank you for your service. Thank you. A 100 years ago, about this time, World War I ended. At exactly 11 a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. After the war, Congress declared November 11th an annual holiday. Originally, it was called Armistice Day. Canada observes the same holiday, calling it Remembrance Day. But in 1953, after the Second World War ended, the name was changed to Veterans Day. And so today, on the 11th day of the 11th month, we pay tribute to all of the American veterans, both living and dead, who fought so bravely to provide and protect our freedoms as a country. You may ask, why are veterans so deserving of our honor? One reason is because of the cause to which veterans are committed. A veteran is committed to the cause of freedom. A veteran is committed to the cause of courage. A veteran is committed to the love of country. Long after the veteran has laid down his military uniform, they remain some of the most patriotic and loyal and most committed Americans in this country. For that commitment to a cause greater than themselves, they are deserving of our honor. Now, today, this week when I was preparing for this message, in my mind, it was my intentions to come today to deliver this message in my full Army uniform that I wore in Desert Storm. But for some reason, I found that the uniform shrunk, and I was unable to wear it today. I was thinking, you know, when I first came into the military back in 1979, I did not come into the military with a sense of service. I didn't even join the military with a sense of patriotism or a sense of service to my country. To be honest with you, I went into the military because I needed to get out of the environment that I was in. I was born and raised in one of the most dangerous housing projects in San Francisco. And I joined the military in order to eat. I grew up with very humble beginnings. And when I went into the military, my purpose for going into the military was to assist my mom and grandmom and my siblings in life. I had to get out of the hood. When I first joined the military, I would get it paid once a month, and I would take my check and take just a portion of it just to buy necessities that I needed, and I would send the rest of my check home every month in order to support my family and to help my siblings. And that's why I went into the military. But after I was in the military and I began to listen to the mission and began to listen to people and the training, then I developed a sense of service. I bought into country. I bought into the fact that I'm in the military to serve. Now, I didn't say this morning, but it's kind of the same when I first met Jesus. The first time I went to church, I didn't go to church looking for anything. I didn't go looking for my life to be changed. I went to church because, I'm going to be honest, there was this little girl who sang in the choir. She was quite attractive, and she was beautiful. And I sat in church, and I looked at her, and I immediately fell in love. That was my original attention in church. But later, like the military, I found a sense of service and a sense of dedication when I allowed Christ to come into my heart. And it made me glad to serve. And that's what we're going to talk about today on this Veterans Day, being glad to serve. We all want our lives to matter. It's the reason that we do the things that we do. By the way, I married that beautiful little girl. Thank you. We chase promotions and leadership positions because we want to make a difference. We encourage our kids to go to college, get a good job, make a lot of money in hopes that they too will make a difference in this world. Now, I want to say that there is nothing wrong with wealth and influence, but those things alone won't change the world. They aren't what we were made for. Believe it or not, we were made to build the church. We were made to build the church. We hear people talk so often, especially younger people, talk about, I want to find myself. I want to know my purpose. Why am I here? Why did God put me here? I stopped by to tell you, Grace Community Church, today you are here to build God's kingdom. That was your purpose to be put on earth. Your purpose, you have a mission, you have a job, you have a service, and that is to build God's kingdom. It is on your table. It is your responsibility to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. There was once a drill sergeant who was putting his troops through some rigorous training exercises. And in doing so, he began to give them instructions. And they were working out and exercising, conditioning their bodies. And he barked out commands, told them, lie on your back and raise up your legs and move your legs as if you're riding a bike. And as he gave those commands, there was one soldier who was on his back and had his legs up in the air, but he stopped moving his legs. The drill sergeant ran over to him and said, what's the problem? Why are you not moving your legs? And that young soldier looked up at the drill sergeant and said, I'm coasting downhill now. And that's what we do a lot of times in our churches today. We join church and God delivers us and saves us and works a miracle in our lives, and we find ourselves just coasting along. We're good. We got it. We're on our way to heaven, and we're just going to coast along. But I stopped by to tell you today that we have a job to do, and we ought to be happy to serve. Amen. There's a scripture in the Bible, Matthew 9 and 37. Jesus is talking to his disciples. Matthew 9 and 37 says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Now, when we hear this scripture, we think the harvest to be the world. When we say the harvest is plenteous, we think of the fact that there is a lot of people outside the church, and that's the harvest. But I heard it explained to me differently once by a preacher. And I want you to listen to this concept of this translation of this scripture. Imagine, if you will, that we believers are the harvest. Harvest, by definition, is something that is gathered and already brought in. If you plant corn, It's already the harvest. It's already corn, and you bring it in, thus making it the harvest. So let's imagine for a moment that we are the harvest, the harvest. Okay, if you think about it that way, then the scripture sounds like this. The harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of churches, a lot of people in churches. The harvest is plenteous, but the workers within the harvest are few. Does that make sense? The harvest is plenteous, but in that harvest, the workers, the laborers are few. Jesus was talking to his disciples. They were already disciples, but he says to them, the harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of disciples, but in the midst of the disciples, there's only few workers. I stopped by to tell you that the harvest is plenteous. There's churches on every corner. Everywhere you look, there's a church, there's a steeple, there's a cross. But in that, the workers are few. Look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave apostles and prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This lets us know that God made each one of us with unique talents, personalities, and skill sets. Each one of us has a job, and each one of us have a particular mission and talent, and we gather together and we bring those talents together in order to do the work of Jesus. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is the sum of our Christ-likeness. It is what identifies us as Christians. Some of the fruit of the Spirit, of course, is joy, love, happiness, gentleness, faithfulness. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, everybody in the church does not possess all of the fruits all the time. Amen? Some of us are big with love. Some of us are big with faithfulness. Some are big with gentleness and kindness. But as a church, when we put our fruit together in the same bowl, we make a fruit salad that's good for eating. Amen? So when somebody new walks through that door who does not know Jesus Christ, and we all work together and put our fruit in the same bowl. You put your love, I put my gentleness, and you put your goodness, and you put your faith. We can tell that person, come and eat. The table is spread, and the feast of the Lord is going on. Amen. Amen. We get the most joy and make the biggest difference when we use our God-given talents and gifts and attributes to build the church. Not to build up me, not to build up you, but to build up God. To God be the glory. There is seven blessings that we experience by serving others. I want to talk about those seven briefly. Number one, serving allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 compares the church to a human body. Just like our bodies are made of many parts, serving specific functions, the church is made up of people with different skills and abilities. Now, alone, these pieces aren't very useful, but together they create something beautiful. I thought about when I was in the military. When I first went in the military, I had a problem with marching. I had a problem with my left and right. Even to this day, if I'm driving and the navigation says make a left, for some reason I want to make a right. I have that problem. But I remember in the military, and I remember a formation of a couple of hundred soldiers marching together, and how beautiful it was when they marched together and everybody was in unison. Every time one foot, left foot went up, all the 200 left foots went up. And when the right foot hit the ground, 200 right feet would hit the ground at the same time. But believe it or not, each person in that formation had their own job and their own purpose in order to make that formation move in unison. If that formation had to make a right or a left, 200 people would turn left or right at the same time because one person would lead that turn. That was his job. And that's the way it is in the church. We have many different jobs, different talents, different responsibilities. But when we get together as a formation and start working together, marching together with the same marching orders, then we can accomplish something in this world. We can make a difference. I want you to know today, Grace Community Church, that seat that you're sitting in today is not your mission. That seat you're sitting in is not your job. It is not what God called you for. Stop coasting and get up and do something for God. Number two, serving allows us to experience the joy and peace that comes from obedience. I don't know if you realize it or not, but serving is a form of worship. The Bible says that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we're serving others, we are actually worshiping God. When I greet you at the door, I'm worshiping God. When I watch your children in nursery, I am worshiping God. Never say, I can't worship today because I got to do nursery. I got to worship today because I'm greeting. I can't worship today because I'm running the sound. Believe me, brothers and sisters, when you are serving God, you are worshiping. You are worshiping. You're worshiping. You're worshiping when you do what you're called to do. It's a way to express gratitude for what Jesus has done for us and to share the love and grace that we have been given. That's what worship is. When you show gratitude to God, that's worship. When you greet someone, listen, someone might come through those doors one day and all they need is a smile, a handshake, a greeting. Their life is jacked up. No one has said a nice word to them in days. And they walk through those doors and you meet them at the door with that big smile on your face. And you shake their hand and say, welcome. I am so glad to see you. You just planted a seed. The Bible says one seed, one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. Let's plant some seeds. Let's plant some seeds. You never know what your service is doing. You never know when you see your brother or sister sick and you see them down and you lay your hands on their shoulder and say, brother, I'm praying for you. Let me pray for you. That's service. That's what God called you and I to do. Not to coast, not to sit back, but to serve. And we ought to be happy and excited about serving. Number three, serving helps us to be more like Jesus. Now, in that statement, I want to say to you that you and I will never be like Jesus because Jesus was without sin. He was perfect. And as much as you may think you're perfect, I stop by to tell you that you are not. However, it is our goal to strive to be like Jesus. If we just try as hard as we can, despite despite the fact that it is utterly impossible, but if we try as hard as we can to be like Jesus, then we would accomplish the mission, because Jesus was a server. I find in my Bible that Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came down to earth, got some water and a towel, and bent down and washed somebody's feet. That's service. If Jesus can do it, so can I. Now, I'm not asking you to wash my feet. I have a few corns and some bunions, so don't worry about it. But what I'm saying is, we need to serve. Amen?
Amen.
Number four, serving surrounds us with other Christians who can help us follow Jesus. There's a scripture that says, iron sharpens iron. We together as believers, when we come together and serve together, we can help each other achieve the mission that we're called for. When we're working side by side with other people, we form a bond, a unity. That's what small group is all about. We come together in small group and we study the word of God, and we unite together and we create bonds that would help us to serve together.
Amen.
Amen? This was part of God's plan of how the church is supposed to work. That's why Hebrews 10 and 24 through 25 says it instructs us to spur one another on toward love and deeds, not giving up meeting together, but encouraging one another. That's what we do. We encourage one another. That's service. Amen. Number five, serving increases our faith. As we move out of our comfort zone, and God increases our faith by revealing our potential in ourselves and in his church. When we see what we can do, when we look at the power of God within us, we begin looking for the doors he has opened rather than pushing our way through the doors that are closed. Serving increases our faith. A lot of times we find ourselves in our comfort zone. Our comfort zone is the seat. Our comfort zone is the chair. Our comfort zone is the bathroom, or wherever we go when we come to church. We get in our comfort zone, and don't mess with me when I'm in my comfort zone. Don't mess with me when I'm in my seat. But I want you to know today, every now and then, we need to get up out of our seats and greet one another. We ought to get up out of our seats and love on one another. We should serve. Amen. Number six, serving allows us to experience God's blessing in new ways. Encouragement and blessing go hand in hand. As we encourage others, they find the blessings of God. And while encouraging others, they are blessed and we are blessed. It's the reason so many people who go on mission trips and they go abroad, and because when they bless others, they feel blessed themselves. Then number seven, serving is good for the soul. Studies have shown that volunteering is so good that it's good for the mind and the body, that it can ease symptoms of stress and depression. Tapping into our gifts and passions builds self-confidence and energy and strength. Serving others can also be the best distraction from our own worries. I thought about the people that are suffering today in Brook County over the fires that's going on. It is our opportunity as a church to reach out and pray and serve those people. So when you pray, remember the people that houses are burning down, their land, everything is tossed upside down. That's when the church steps in and becomes the spokesman of Jesus Christ, the witness of Jesus Christ. Amen. But we, as people, we find all kind of reasons why not to serve. We say things like, I don't have time. Oh, this is a good one. We say, how can I serve? I'm a sinner. I've messed up. How can I sing of the goodness of Jesus when I've messed up myself? People say, I don't have time. I don't have any special gifts or talents. They don't need me. But the reality is, the Lord doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. God uses ordinary people just like you and I. I tell you what, I cannot sing a lick. I cannot hold a tune. I don't know what a music note is. But I tell you what, if God wanted me to sing, if God needed me to sing, I would sing. And if it would reach somebody's soul, I would sing so loud like I was Tina Turner or somebody. Because that's the heart of a server. But that's not my talent. That's not what God gave me to do. I'd mess up the whole formation. We'd be marching all over the place. But the point is, do what God has called you to do. And if you don't know what God called you to do, ask God. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Show me how to serve. So we have all our doubts, but God uses men and women in the Bible with similar doubts. Look at Moses. Moses didn't think he could be a leader. He didn't think he spoke well. But God worked through Moses to bring Israel out of slavery. David, the youngest of his brothers, therefore the most insignificant of them all, the smallest rut in his family. But God used him to become the king of Israel. Paul, oh, that's a good one, because one of our main excuses for not serving is I messed up. I'm a sinner. I'm jacked up. Look at Paul. Paul killed Christians. Killed them dead. But he went on to become one of the most regarded writers and pastors in church history. It's not what you did. It's what you're going to do. If service was predicated on how good you are, then none of us would serve. But it is predicated on your heart and what you are willing to do. So serve with a glad heart. Peter addresses the importance of serving in 1 Peter 4:10 to 11. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in his various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, the power forever and ever. Amen. It's not about us. It's about him. Peter makes it clear that we have received our gift from God to one purpose, to serve others and to bring praise to God. Serving is not about receiving attention to or glory to ourselves, but to God be all the glory. How does God receive glory when we serve? It is the transforming power of Jesus Christ that is on display in our lives to those that we serve. Peter says believers should recognize that we are speaking and serving directly on God's behalf to others, while he gives us the ability and the strength to do so, And when we direct our glory toward him instead of ourselves, then we are serving God in the fullest. I want you to know before I go to my seat that when this world was lost, no hope, nothing, darkness and sin and hopelessness had overtaken us, there was a man that came to serve. He served to the end that he came and was beaten and whipped and spat upon. But yet he served. He served until the end where they hung him on a cross until he died and they put him in a grave. But even death did not stop him from serving, because 3 days later he got up with all glory in his hands and said, I have the power over life and death, and I want you to know because of that power, you and I can now serve and be a blessing and build the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you today because you have allowed us to serve and that you've come into our hearts. We are the harvest. And we want to be workers. We want to be glad workers. And Lord, we pray for the people in Butte County who are suffering from the fires. We pray, Lord, we pray that you would allow this place, this house, Grace Community Church, Lathrop, Grace Community Church, Tracy, allow us to be the beacon light. Allow us to be the salt of the earth, the light on the hill, that we can be witnesses and servants and build the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.